Welcome to Life in Business, the podcast for business owners who want the confidence to grow without having to hustle 24/7. I'm Libby Langley, your host, award-winning No BS business coach and Amazon best-selling author. Join me each week to learn simple and practical strategies for growing your business, growing your profits, growing your confidence, and for having fun in business too. Here's this week's episode. Hello, welcome to another episode of Life in Business with me, Libby Langley, your host. It's nice to see you again today, or to be in your ears again today. Thanks as ever for joining me. And today I am talking about staying small to grow bigger. Sounds a bit like an oxymoron, really, doesn't it? In that, how can you get bigger if you're staying small? But let me explain. And this episode has been kind of sparked by me rereading a book recently, Paul Jarvis's Company of One. I first read it, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago. And I know I mentioned it in the episode that I did previously about business books worth reading. Can't remember what episode number that is, but if you scroll back, it's a way back, that one, then it's worth listening to. That's because there's some real crackers in there for you to read. But yeah, I've reread it recently, and it just really kind of strikes a chord with me. It's about kind of autonomy. That's what it's about as much as anything. And I wanted to talk about it today because there is so much pressure in the online business world, in the coaching space, in the service provider space, that you grow. And by growing, you grow a team, you grow an agency, you have people, right? And you don't need that in order to be able to be successful. Okay, two caveats here. One is that you do need people, right? You need a select team to outsource to. And I'll talk about that a bit more. And the other thing is success. First of all, you need to define success, right? You need to define what success means to you. And success will mean something different to you than it means to me in terms of specifics, right? But I bet you any amount of money that we can broadly define success as more financial freedom and more time freedom, right? If your definition of success doesn't fit into that, then please do message me and let me know, because it might be that you're in the wrong place. It's more time. It's more time, more money, right? More freedom, more flexibility. That's what we mean by success. And whether that then means with that more money, you up sticks and go and live the rest of your life in a camper van as a digital nomad, you know, maybe, maybe not. That's not for me. But it is absolutely one definition of freedom. Or that you have the money to buy a Lamborghini. You know, again, I'm not that bothered. I mean, I would quite like one. But I think I would never drive it, because can you imagine trying to park it in Sainsbury's? Just, I don't know. No, I think my days of that are kind of over. It makes me really sad, but I don't know. Anyway, we digress. So success, you know, kind of success is something, means something different to everybody, right? But the fact that you're listening to this podcast, I am making the assumption that you want more time freedom, you want more financial freedom, right? And also you kind of want to be in control of your life. That's a really key thing, because when we start businesses, we have no idea what we're doing, largely, right? That's the truth of the matter. We don't know what we're doing. We just have this kind of dream or this idea, and we're good at what we do, right? No doubt about that. You have the skills to deliver the thing, to deliver the service that you deliver to people. That's fine. But all the other stuff, and there is a lot of other stuff that comes with running a business, no clue, right? I certainly didn't have when I started my business. And I came from a place of knowledge, I suppose, actually. I'd worked with businesses a lot. I worked in a college. I was commercial development manager, and I worked a lot with them. They were my customers. Businesses were my customers, right? And so I ran training courses and did consultancy on marketing with them, specifically social media and digital marketing. A lot about social media, about blogging, about email marketing, that kind of stuff. So I knew quite a lot about that side of things to do with business. And I'd also I'd done several management qualifications, which is not the same as running a business, I grant you. However, lots of case studies, lots of financial analysis. And when I started my business, I was in the final throes of completing my MBA. And there were financial exams in there. So we had to do profit and loss, had to understand all the numbers, right? So that kind of stuff I understood. However, the difference between writing a dissertation, I don't know how many words, 20,000 word dissertation about, social media marketing strategy. That's what my MBA dissertation was on. And having got distinctions, yay me, in my finance exams, you know, going in from a really solid standpoint, that first day when I was at home on my own running a business, I did not know what I was doing, right? Did not know. Everything I knew was 9 to 5, pretty much. Oh, no, I'm sorry. 7:30. 7:20 I used to get into work. We started at 8:30. I got in at 7:20 to have a bit of peace and quiet. So everything I knew was sort of like 7:20 till 5:00. You had your after lunch. You know, this was just the structure, right? This is just what we know, because this is, you know, it's like, you know, the school day is a structured day during the daytime between set hours with a set amount of time for lunch and for breaks and stuff. Work is very much like that. Perhaps there's a bit more fluidity now post-COVID because more people work at home. But still, it's a very structured world. And we go into our own business having the skills to do the thing. For me, it was coaching, training, teaching, and consultancy, right? They've always been my things that I've been very good at, and skills I used in my job when I had a proper job. And so, you know, you've got the skills, but you don't have the business owner knowledge, right? And oh my goodness, it's a wake-up call, right? It's an absolute wake-up call. And you sit there at home in your slippers with your cat thinking, right, let's get some customers then. And kind of that's everything that you focus on, you know, which is absolutely right, because you need customers in order to be able to run a business. So you focus on getting more customers in, which is all absolutely fine, right? And is absolutely the way that a business needs to run. You need to get customers. However, there's so much more to running a business, right? And the thing that I don't understand about my own business journey in the early days, I mean, bear in mind, I've been in business nearly 13 years, right? So I'm talking about a long time ago, lot of water, and, you know, 6,500 customers have gone under the bridge since then. So this is really back at the beginning for me. But considering I knew a lot about profitability and profit and loss, and, you know, crunched all the numbers, did all the spreadsheets, when I first started my business, well, within a year or so, it's almost like I'd forgotten all that, right? It's almost like I got carried away with growth potential. That's what I would say. So I started off as me. I worked from home, had loads of customers, was super profitable. Everything was great from day one, right? And then I joined an entrepreneur community, UK-based entrepreneur community. And their message was grow £1 million business, get a team, or get a team, grow £1 million business, that way around, right? That was kind of tons of useful stuff, right? It changed the way I did business. So I'm not knocking it in the slightest. However, it was, you know, to be successful, you had a team, and you aimed for £1 million, right? So I just, being a bit green behind the ears and all that, green behind the ears, wet behind the ears. Anyway, naive to it all. I was like, wow, yeah, let's do this. Come on, £1 million. Woo, let's build a team. And I got staff. I had a part-time person. Then I got a full-time person. Then I got another full-time person. Then I got another full-time person. Then I got an apprentice. And, you know, there were five of us, right, very quickly, within about 18 months of me getting my first employee, which I'd been in business not quite 18 months, right? So I'd moved out of home, got an office, which was a big expense. It was a big expense. And then I moved to a bigger office. And so that I needed, at the height of it, I needed something like 12 or 13 grand a month just to pay for stuff, just to pay for the staff and the office and all of that. And that's a hell of a responsibility, right? I can see now, I look back and I'd got kind of carried away with the dream, almost, this grow a team, grow a team, have a million-pound business. And I was really successful, right? It was really, really successful. But I wasn't happy. And, if you're a regular listener to this podcast or you've read my book, Life in Business, then you'll kind of know this story, right? But I use it again as an example because it's the reality. You know, I speak from my own experience that I did this. I lost sight of what I actually wanted from the business. And I'll say actually that I perhaps didn't know at the start what I did want from the business. I just knew that my job was making me ill. I was burnt out, I was stressed. It was a horrendous situation to be a commercial person in a public sector world. And, you know, so I left and I started a business and I just kind of wanted to make some money. I wasn't super passionate about social media. I found it really interesting because it was a time of, it was in the early days and it was interesting and all of that. But I was never super passionate about it. I think it's a fantastic tool, but it's a very noisy space now. And I'm quite long out of teaching people about that. I do a bit of LinkedIn training sometimes, but you know, I'm kind of quite out of that world now. And so I didn't really know why I'd started the business other than I wanted to do something different. And that in itself is valid, right? But it wasn't so I could have more time off necessarily. Because we had nice holidays. I had loads of time off because I worked in the public sector. I had like 7-8 weeks holiday a year. Time off was never an issue. We had loads of holidays. You know, all this stuff was fine, right? I guess I kind of didn't want for more. I certainly didn't want to live in a camper van and travel the world. And so I built this agency and it was everything, right? It was everything to me. It was absolutely everything to me. But then I wasn't happy. And I said to some peers when we were at a conference in the States, I'm not happy. And they're like, well, you can change it all. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Why didn't I think of that? So I went home from the conference in San Diego and made my staff redundant and gave up my office and went back home, right? And that was a real pivotal shift in my business. That was 2015 that happened, which is 9 years ago now. So again, a long time ago now. Since then, I've kind of been really conscious of the fact that a company of one, i.e. me making all the decisions, having all the autonomy, keeping all the profit, quite frankly, is what matters to me. And having that complete freedom and flexibility to just run the business in whatever way I want to is so empowering, right? Just so empowering. Not to say I've always got it right, because I think as you go through your life in business, it's one of the reasons that my book and my podcast are both called that, right? As you go through this life in business, then you're learning all the time. And there are a lot of trends and the world shifts and changes and technology changes. And so you kind of, a lot of us, particularly when we work in the digital space, the online space, you adapt, you bring new stuff in, you change stuff. And there's different kind of trends, ways of doing things that you follow that suit you or don't suit you, right? So it's about finding your own place in the world. And I think that that's just so important. And that's why my group program, Confidence to Grow, that launched in 2024, a couple of months ago now, is kind of a culmination of all this, right? And it's why I'm so passionate about it, because it's just the stuff that matters, right? It's about discovering your quiet inner confidence and resilience, right? That's what you need in business. We don't need to rely on all the bells and whistles that are out there. We don't need all the noise. And to grow to £1 million and to have a Ferrari and, you know, we don't need all that. What we need is to be comfortable in our own skins and in ourselves, in our business skills and our business knowledge, and do that. And just do that. And just do that. And just do that. And just kind of keep doing that. And that's what Confidence to Grow supports with. I mean, there are obviously some specifics about how to do certain things and a lot of talk about marketing and pricing, which is so important in business. But the ultimate kind of premise of it is being so comfortable and confident in yourself, not in a woo woo, I'm amazing way, just a, do you know what? I feel all right about this. And I know why I feel all right about this. And this feels aligned and this feels honest and this feels true. And I feel happy doing this. And I like working with these customers. And this is how I want my days to run. Perfect, right? That is the ultimate measure of success for me, which is why I've started running the program. The ultimate measure of success is staying small, right? Being yourself, trusting yourself, having your quiet inner confidence, and then growing that and scaling your business in whatever way suits you, according to your own rules and your own objectives and your own beliefs and your own passions. And, you know, saying see ya to all the rest of it, because it doesn't matter, right? If you're chasing, like I did back in the day, you know, over a decade ago, the £1 million, build the team, get the £1 million business. If you're chasing that and it isn't what you really want, it's never going to make you happy. And being happy is just one of the most important things that we can possibly have in this entire world, right? Surely being happy is the ultimate measure of success. Because if you're not happy, it's a bit pointless, right? Just is. So I strongly believe in that. And that's kind of become my, I guess, my mission, right? My passion, my why for doing stuff is just about saying to people like you, do you know what? There's a different way to do stuff. There is absolutely a different way to do stuff. You don't need to buy a bigger house if you don't actually really want a bigger house. Buy a small downsize if that suits you. Free up some equity. It's almost about releasing the shame of expectation, you know? I just think that we don't need that. We don't need that extra level of pressure of conformity to what we should be doing, you know? And you see all these kind of, you know, the shiny people on Instagram or particularly LinkedIn. Somebody coined the phrase, which I just think is absolutely fantastic. So boast writing. There's a lot of that on LinkedIn, a lot of boast writing on LinkedIn, you know, about how fantastic people have been and how much money they've made. And it's just like, well, okay, good for you, but are you happy? You know, I don't care how much money you've got. That don't impress me much, right? It doesn't matter. What matters is that you have enough money for you to do what you want to do. The only person you are ever, ever, ever measuring yourself against is yourself. Who cares about anybody else? Really, who cares about anybody else? You know? And this is not a like anti-society thing, right? Obviously, we want to integrate into society and, you know, have friends and business associates and biz buddies and all this stuff, right? I don't mean like you're like you know, a pillar of one and that's the end of everything. But what I mean is you the only person you're kind of accountable to is yourself, and responsible for is yourself, and measurable against is yourself, right? That's what I mean. You know, having this kind of what your definition of success is so important, so important. And I said about growing the team, right? So staying small, you can't do it on your own. I mean, you can, but I did for many, many years, did it all on my own, but it's harder. So for example, things that I absolutely think are worth paying for in order to help you grow, but still remain this kind of company of one, right? Still have all this autonomy, is outsourcing things to people with specific skills that are better than you at their specific skills, right? Like an accountant. I'm not going to be doing my own tax return. No, I could, because, you know, I've done lots of qualifications and all that around finance and stuff. I'm not interested in doing it. I don't know all the technical ins and outs of what stuff. So, you know, get an accountant. I've had one since day one. Have a VA. You have somebody who can support you with stuff that if they kind of do infrastructure stuff, that frees up your time and, more importantly, your headspace to think about the bigger things, because your job is probably, okay, without knowing the intricacies of your business, your job within your business is probably marketing, sales, delivery, right? Probably. That's what my job is in my business. Yeah. Do the marketing, because this is marketing, right? Essentially. Nobody else, I can't outsource this to anybody else. Yeah. So the marketing, writing the book, write the book myself. Can't outsource that to I mean, you know, you do get ghostwriters, but no, you know, you stuff like that. Social media posts, it's all me, because I have a very, as we all do, I have a very specific way of talking and a very specific language. And it's very hard for somebody else to pick that up, right? So marketing's all me. And it's my face everywhere as well, because I am my business, you know, LibbyLangley.com, right? I am my business. Sales, I need to be able to talk to the people that I'm going to be working with. I don't believe I can outsource that, right? There are companies that would say differently, but I don't believe that I can. And also, I don't work on volume particularly. I have 5 people a month join my Confidence to Grow program, and that's it, right? So that's all volume that I can absolutely handle and deal with the conversations around that. And then the delivery of me, yeah? So marketing, sales, delivery, that's my job. And I would suspect that that is your job. But I have an accountant, I have a VA, I have someone who edits this podcast. I have a web person, bits and bobs of people, right, who are absolutely exceptional at what they do and support me enormously. But then on my books, they're all independent contractors, business owners, freelancers, whatever title they use. And they support me in my company of one, yeah? I never want to have an employee again. I never want to have, no disrespect to my employees, because they were amazing, such lovely people, right? But I don't want that. I don't want to work anywhere other than home or on my laptop somewhere if I choose to do that. That's a really conscious decision for me in my business. But growth, yes. You know, financial growth, yes. Profit growth, yes. My own personal growth and development, yes. I do a lot of learning, a lot of self-development. That's really, really important to me, to be able to have the time within my business to be able to do that. And so you can structure things however you want to structure them. But this notion of staying small, and as Paul Jarvis says, you know, the company of one, this notion of staying small, I think, is hugely, hugely empowering, right? And to me, it kind of epitomizes the reason that we start doing this. We didn't start doing this to have tons of responsibility. I mean, oh my God. I mean, you do have tons of responsibility, right? There is so much responsibility with running a business, but not in the same way of managing staff and all that shizzle, right? And meetings, bureaucratic meetings, month-end reports. Oh, I don't know. Just think of all the rubbish that I used to have to do. Meetings about meetings. But I did work in the public sector, so we did used to have meetings to set agendas for following meetings. You know, we did a lot of that. So there's, you know, that you don't need that in your own business, right? You can cut all that stuff out and just do the stuff that matters. And if you just do the stuff that matters, that you've made a conscious choice to do, you are going to end up doing less, right? Which means you will have more time freedom. And you are going to end up making more money, because a lot of your activities are going to be sales focused, which is where the income comes from. And so you will have more financial freedom. You'll have more profit. So you'll have more profit, more autonomy, more freedom, more flexibility, and more fun, because you can do what you like. You can go to Sainsbury's in the middle of the day. You can go to the post office at 3:00 in the afternoon. It's something that's just never, the novelty of that has not left me in 13 years. I swear, it's just so silly, isn't it? But you know, you can not work Fridays. You can knock off at 3 o'clock every day. You can do what you want. You can structure things in the way that you want to structure them. It takes work to get there, right? And it takes a lot of self-restraint and a lot of conscious decisions. However, it's perfectly possible. And that's just the absolute beauty of running a business. And so that's why I'm a big advocate for staying small in order to be able to grow bigger. And that's what I help my clients with. And I say that's what my Confidence to Grow program, the premise of it all is about finding yourself, I guess, you know, understanding yourself, knowing what you really want and using that as the basis for your growth. We don't need bells and whistles. We need some, because some stuff is great, right? Automation's great, systems are great, but we don't need the staff, the office, the shiny, the bigger, those days have gone. We just don't need that anymore. And so by staying small, consciously staying lean and staying smaller, you have far more opportunity to reach the pinnacle of success that you want to, that you're striving for. And I just think it's fantastic, right? I think it's an incredible opportunity. I think we're very privileged to be able to do that. I think that we as a movement of female entrepreneurs in 2024 onwards, it's fantastic. The opportunity has never been greater. But we have to recognize that the opportunity and the power comes from within us, not because we have an office and five staff, right? I don't want you to be sitting by a pool in San Diego with other people from the conference just saying, I'm so unhappy. It's like, look at where you are and look at what you're doing. Why are you unhappy? No, come on, have the business that you want and run it in the way that you've always dreamed of. And that's what I want for you. So there you go. Thanks for coming to today's TED Talk. And I will see you next week. Lots of love. Thank you for listening to Life in Business. Please make sure that you subscribe or follow so you don't miss any future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's show, please leave a review as it helps others to find the podcast and spread the word that there's an easier way to do business. If you want to chat with me about today's episode or suggest a topic for the future, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram @LibbyLangley. See you next week.